the ones that follow Facebook knows who's preaching, because I put it on about 3 this afternoon, right? It's been a crazy busy couple weeks for me. We've been gone a lot. We do a lot of horse showing in September, and then we went to Florida quick with Dad and my brother Ben, and then when I got back, I've since worked all but 2 days in 2 weeks. It's like 200-plus hours, so I've been working like crazy, but God's still good, right? Amen. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk about what are you afraid of? That's what I put up on Facebook. What are you afraid of? Anybody here afraid of things? I'm afraid of a few things. I don't like spiders. I don't like sharks. I don't like... What are you afraid of? We're going to dive a little deeper into that. We're not talking about sharks and spiders here tonight, but what are you afraid of? Portion of Bible that I'm going to use tonight, and I don't have a lot of scriptures I'm going to put up, but most people know these verses. I'm right in the middle stage of needing reading glasses, so I'm going to do like Dad, on and off, because it drives me nuts. I wear contacts, and now I need regular glasses, so I can't see this, but I can't see that, and so if I play with them a lot, I apologize already. But the section of Bible that we're going to use, I'm not going to put a ton of verses up there. We all know this verse or this chapter, Matthew chapter 5. Anybody know offhand what parables are in there? We got, Matthew 25. There, that's where we're going. Got the 10 virgins. We got the parable of the talents. And then we've got the separating the sheep from the goats. So in the first one, it talks about... The 10 virgins that are going out to wait for the bridegroom. You had 5 foolish and 5 wise ones. We all know the story. Some bring oil, some don't. The ones that don't all of a sudden run out, and when a bridegroom comes, they're not there. They miss their prize, or they miss their goal. That's not the one I'm preaching about. And if we jump down to the third act in this parable, 3 different parables in this chapter there. The third one, we read the chapter just a tiny bit. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, and he will sit on the throne of his glory, all nations will gather before him. And he'll separate them one from another as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Who was here on Sunday? I wasn't. I can't raise my hand. I was at work. What'd Steve preach about? Lost sheep and shepherds, right? The sheep hears the shepherd's voice, or they know it, and they come to him. So it says when he comes, and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, and he's going to put them on the left, and he's going to put them on the right, and he's going to say certain things to the ones on the left and certain things on the right. And when did we see you naked and hungry and all that? We all know that story. It's a great chapter of the Bible. I'm not preaching on that one either. Today we're going to use the talents. There we go. The parable of the talents. The second act, right in the middle of that. Everybody knows this story, right? Talking about a man that's traveling to a faraway country. Obviously, he's a rich man, or he's a well-to-do man, because he's got stuff to leave. I know the kingdom of heaven is like a man who's traveling to a far country. It's a long ways off. And this man calls his servants, and he delivers them his goods, talks to each one of them, 3 of them, and gives them what he has for them. Obviously, this guy doesn't trust the banks. He knows something. He doesn't trust Edward Jones, or he doesn't trust Bank of America, or any of them. But he knows his servants, right? He knows his people, his servants. And he calls his servants to him, which means he trusted them, right? He trusted them more than the lenders or the banks or whoever might be trading money to give him something back on his return. Is it a little bit of money or a lot of money? Anybody know how much a talent, you read and study a little bit, what a talent is worth, roughly? It's a lot. It's not a little bit. You can vary a little bit, but it's about 15 years is pretty average of what I was reading. 15 to 20 years worth of wages. So one talent is equivalent to 15 years' wages. So if he gives you 5 talents, how many years worth? Do the math real quick. Roughly 75 years worth of wages. You imagine what that's worth? It's a lot of money. He's not just giving them 10 bucks and saying, here, I'll be back in a week. He's trusting them with a large sum of money. Even at 50 grand, it might be a lot to some, it might be a little to others. 50 grand a year, 75 years of that is, I didn't write it down, but I think it was 3.7 million. That's a lot of money. And even the man that got 2 talents, that's still, I think, 1.5 million if I do the math in my head right real quick. It's a big sum of money. It's not no little thing. It's a large thing, a large worthy of something that he's trusting him with. Even the man that had 2 talents, still a lot. We think of this parable sometimes, we think of it as gifts or my talents. Sometimes it might get thought of as an analogy or what I've been given or my talents, which is fine as well. We can think of it that way. It's still if you've been trusted or given something, but the scripture's talking about cash, weights and measures and money. And it's a large amount of money that he's not trusting no brokerage firm with. He's given it to his servants because he trusts it. So he gives the 5 talents to one and the 2 talents to the other and a single talent to the third man, servants. And then the Bible says, immediately he left. He gave them the money and immediately he left. So for the servants or the slaves, that's the same thing. Immediately they left. They were given this sum of money and then they were on their way. The master was gone, they're on their own. The first one, he got busy right away. He's a diligent man, a hard worker. Obviously, he had some sort of skills or some sort of something, because what did he do? He went out and got 100% return on his master's money. I wish I could go out and get 100% return on that amount of money. Even back then, huh? 75 years worth of wages. So he was diligent, went out, made some money. And when the master came back after a time, he had a talk with him and he gave an account. When you come back, you all got to catch up. So what'd you do with the money? And he gave an account of what happened. Because it's not their money. The talents didn't belong. He didn't give it to them to say, here, live a good life. You're on your own. He gave it to them to hold. It's a prize. It's a something of value that he gave them to hold on to and watch over for him. And he asked, what did you do with that money? It's a big responsibility. How many know the Lord has given us gifts? Given us things of great value. And when the Lord comes back, there's going to be a day of reckoning, right? Amen. When the Lord comes back, we're going to have to give an account of what we have done with our gifts and with our talents. Are we going to be good stewards or are we going to be bad stewards? So we get back to our parable. Calls them together. The one that had 5, he said, Master, you trusted me with 5 and I have gained 100% more. I've gained 5 more talents and you now have double of what you had. And what does Master say to him? Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with these few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter now into your master's joy. The same way the man with the 2 talents came, same thing. He asked him the same thing. So what have you done? And he's proud as can be. He says, Master, I've doubled your money. I've gained 2 additional talents. You now have 4, 2 above what you trusted me with. What'd the master say to him? The exact same thing that he said to the one that had 5. The exact same thing. Enter into your master's joy. The guy that had 2 wasn't envious of the one that had 5, was he? He didn't say, why did you give him 5 or me only 2? Why didn't you split it 3.5 apiece? Or he wasn't envious of him. He gave him 2 talents. He was diligent with it, and he went out and he gained 2 more talents. No, neither of them deserved anything, did they? They were slaves. They worked for the man. He was the master. He was the Lord. They were slaves. They didn't deserve any of it. And it wasn't theirs. He trusted them with his money, with his gift. We should never look on our brother or sister in envy of, God, why did you do this for them? Here I am. I could use that. How did Rocky get a new truck? I could use a new truck. How does so-and-so have this great big church with thousands in the congregation? We can never look on our brother or sister in envy. God blesses us, how? According to our ability to handle. Some people are 5-talent people. Some people are 2-talent people. Some people are 1-talent people. But we need to do something with that 1 talent. That 1 talent's still a lot of money, isn't it? It's still a large, large something. We need to be able to work with what we have. Can't always say, I need. Work with what I have. Thank God for what you have. Mike, thank God for a job he just got, right? Amen. Amen. Can't be envious. We can't look. Look on our brother. You know, I use this at home all the time. It doesn't have to be the best, but make the best of what you have. We don't have to. We have a farm, and we're rednecks. It's not always the nicest, fanciest thing, but if we try our best and do our best with what we have, then it's going to shine through. If we get lazy and we just bury what we got in the sand, we're not going to get anything back. Sometimes I'd like to just bury our farm in the sand and start over, but when you do your best with what you were given, the Lord comes back again and the Master comes and recognizes it. What's he going to say to you? Well done. Well done. Even if you don't have a church with 1,000 people in it and a huge whatever you can imagine or dream, as long as you do what you can with your 1 talent, your 2 talents, your 5 talents, that's what the Lord's looking for. So what did he say to the one that had 1 talent? I heard uh-oh up there. He obviously trusted him somewhat because he gave him a large sum of money. And he was scared. He went and buried it in the ground. He didn't lose it. He still had it when the master came back. He probably was proud. Here's your money. I didn't lose it. And the master said to him, he goes, I knew what kind of man you were before I gave it to you. Bible says you're a hard man. You reap where you did not sow. You gather where you haven't scattered seeds. I knew from the beginning you were a difficult person to deal with. And the servant says to him, Master, I would have done more, but I was afraid. I didn't think you would notice. I could have given it more effort, but I didn't know if it was worthy of it. I didn't lose your money, but I didn't go out and do anything with it. I hear a lot of people that say, I'm saved. I'm going to make it. I'll make it to heaven. Is that good enough? He gave you a gift. And some, we just want to bury it in the sand and not do anything with it. We need to go out and do something with it. Gift to everlasting life, forgiveness, healing. Don't bury it in the sand. What else did the master say to him? Got in my notes, and it's straight out of the Bible. Just wrote it down. You wicked, slothful, lazy, I might be adding a few here, cowardly, no good servant. You didn't do anything with what I gave you. And then he says, if you knew who I was when I gave it to you, if you had no intentions of doing anything with it, why didn't you say, here, take it and give it to someone else? But instead, he takes it and he buries it in the sand. didn't have sense enough to do anything with it. And it says in there, kind of losing my place here, says to the one talent man, servant, casts him out where? Outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's not where I want to be. I don't want to be where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Got to remember where I'm at, because I'm talking more than I'm reading my notes. I got one little point here I want to make. This ain't a huge message. This ain't a long, drawn-out, super deep message. It's simple. My goal tonight was to be a little bit shorter. Sometimes I get long, and my goal is to be a little bit shorter tonight, because I want to sing one more song when we're done here tonight. I want to close out with another song. How many like that first song there that Paul sang? That's one of my all-time favorites. I'm hoping if I'm quick enough, we can do another one of my all-time favorites. I like it when the Lion of Judah roars. Whew, I could sing that one all day. He gave one 5 talents because he had the ability to handle 5 talents. Gave one 2 talents because he knew he had the ability to handle 2 talents. Gave the other one 1 talent because obviously he knew. He said, you're a hard man, you're slothful. He knew he wasn't a 5-talent person, so he didn't give him 5 talents. What does this mean? The Lord's merciful. The master is merciful, right? He's not going to put something into your hands that you can't handle. He's not going to put you in over your head and let you get in too deep. I heard an old pastor from a long time ago say this, and I can remember, because we grew up in the church all the way through, and I remember this one saying, and if you're the type of person that the teacher says, get your notepads out, this might be on the final test. This is one of the final test questions here. The statement goes like this: God does not give anything, everything, but he what? Anybody got an idea? Gives everything something. You agree with that? Why don't we say it? God does not give anything, everything, but he does give everything something. Everybody gets something. Even the slothful servant got 1 talent. So I'm going to try to paint this picture for you. Hopefully you got that statement in your head there, because it's on the test. Me and Seth, we like analogies. We like comparables, because it helps you to think and see things. And it helps you put things in my mind how I understand them. What's the most beautiful bird God ever created? Bald eagle. All right, let's think fancy and pretty. Slide. There we go. The peacock. That is a pretty fancy-looking bird. If you've ever seen them, they have them in India. We've seen them running around down there, and they are a beautiful-looking bird. You got to think of God when he's creating all this stuff. The imagination that he had. I kind of picture Bob Ross, the painter. You ever see that? Ooh, let's put a pretty little feather here and a pretty little feather there, and that tail fans out, and the colors, and I mean, that's a bird like no other bird, really. It's pretty cool, ain't it? God's awful creative. I mean, that's... We have turkeys. Turkeys are good for something. Have you ever seen a peacock's feet? He made them the most beautiful bird there is. And there's some peacock's feet. They are the ugliest looking feet. I mean, a lot of birds have ugly feet, but those are some really ugly feet. So you got this pretty bird and all them pretty feathers and the big tail fanned out. And then you look down below underneath it, and he's got some really ugly, hideous feet. And you know what else? What else can a peacock do? He can't fly. He's a bird that can't fly. He's a pretty bird, but he's got ugly feet and he can't fly. there's all kinds of old sayings or old Confucius parable type things that talk about he can't fly because his feet are so ugly. If he flew, people would see him, but that's here nor there. I know if I were a peacock, I'd want to ugly down just a little bit and then have the ability to fly. That'd be my wish. So he gave him something, but he did not give him everything. All right, let's go to an eagle. Eagle doesn't look anything like a peacock, but they're a cool bird, right? Peacock from 2 miles in the sky can see a mouse running around on the field. Swoop, an eagle. Yeah, correction. An eagle. Peacocks can't fly. An eagle can fly from 2 miles in the sky and see a mouse running through the grass and swoop down and it's dinner time. That's pretty cool. And I think an eagle's a pretty bird. He's not as pretty or colorful as a peacock, but he's a cool-looking bird. But I think we're a little biased here in this country. You know another fact about the eagle? It's kind of cool. They can look directly into the sun and never blink. I know as white boys like us, Dad goes in the sun and he sneezes about 6 times. That's a pretty good feat. So he gave the eagle something different than he gave the peacock. Many knows he gives you something different than he gives me. He gives Pastor Harley or Dad something different than he gives some other pastor. So I don't have to try to preach the same as Dad, do I? I don't have to try and know the Bible as good as Paul. Paul, he's a scholar. He knows that Bible. And I know the Bible, but he's got me beat. He's older than me. Maybe I'll catch up someday. I don't know. But I don't have to try to be Paul. I don't have to be to try to be the fancy church or to be a Franklin Graham and around the world. I don't have. God gave me what I can handle. And I got to do something with it. God's given everybody something, right? Given everybody something. And that's something that God's given you, even if everyone around you doesn't appreciate it, don't bury it in the sand. Preach that message, even if your neighbor doesn't want to hear it. Preach that message to them. If your family doesn't want to hear it, you don't have to stand here to preach. You don't have to stand on a pulpit or in a corner. You can preach to your coworker. You can preach to your neighbor. You can, if you got a gift of singing, you can sing as you're walking down the grocery store. Don't take your gift, don't take your talent, and hide it in the sand and do nothing with it. Jesus gave you a gift. God gave us each and every one gifts. Different gifts for each ones. My gift ain't the same as your gift. I can't really sing. I like to try, but I can't sing. Kirsten, Paul, all the other ones, they can sing really good. Why can't I sing? I can hum really good, and in my head I'm singing and singing out loud, but there's a reason I don't have a microphone. But I might be a little envious, but I do sing. But I don't make a beautiful sound. I make a sound of Corey that God gave me. I don't keep it. I let it go. Don't be wicked. Don't be slothful. Don't be that lazy servant. Just do the best with what you have been given. Because if God gave it to you, what are you afraid of? Back to my initial story there. What are you afraid of? I got some different afraids here. Some people are scared, frightened of their past. You hear a lot of times all the, I did this and I did that. I was so bad. Truth be told, every single one of us here is living in a haunted house one way or another. We've all done something. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short. We've all done something. My story might not be as bad as your story, but in a way, we're all coming from somewhere, right? Sometimes we come to church and we have our Sunday face and we're all happy and praise the Lord. And then we go home on Monday and we're home alone and you're thinking of your past and you're doing everything you can to keep it locked in that closet because that past is wanting to come back out and get you at you. Got your foot on the door and you're holding that past shut. Don't be afraid of your past. Colossians says what? 2:14. What do you do with your past? Nailed it, taken it out of the way, nailed it to the cross. Whatever your past comes up, he paid the price. It's done. It's gone. Put it in that closet. Leave it in there. Don't worry about your past. Oh, I'd like to go preach, but just 2 weeks ago I was doing drugs and I was a sinner. If God has set you free and you've come through and you've come past, don't just stop there. Keep going. He's given you a gift. He's given you a message. He's given you a talent. Take it forward and do something with it. Don't let your past haunt you, because he paid the price right there. Write that verse down if you're taking notes. I know some people are afraid of the present. If you're not afraid of the past, you might be afraid of the present. God's got a calling on your life. He's put a call in your spirit. He's got a plan. And that plan is only for you. Each and every one of us have our own unique gifts, our own unique. He's got a plan for you. Just like he made the peacock, he's got a plan for you, and he knows what he wants to do with you. Don't be paralyzed in the present, afraid. See, too many people nowadays, we overanalyze. I'm a thinker. I analyze. Some people will analyze, and they analyze, and they analyze, and they do some more analyzing. And then they analyze, they're analyzing, and they think, and they think, and they think. And next thing you know, they're paralyzed. They can't do nothing. We do a little bit of that on, we wanted to go on vacation here starting tomorrow. Months ago, I had an idea, but I overanalyzed and I overanalyzed it, and all of a sudden the price of the airplane tickets are 3-4 times as much, and then you decide you're not doing nothing. I overanalyzed, I overthought it, now my window's gone, but we are just going to go on a road trip tomorrow. So anyway, don't overanalyze it. Don't let it hold you back from making a decision. Anybody ever hear the story about the donkey tied between two bales of hay? Kind of goes back to those philosophy and paradoxes and philosophy, and it's, if you do study and reading, you come across it. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Burden's ass, the donkey. He's tied between two bales of hay with a rope, and he can reach one bale of hay at a time, but he can't reach both bales at the same time. So the donkey stands there in the middle, and he can't make a decision, and he dies of hunger. Some of the stories have it with a pail of water and a pail of hay, or he can reach either one of them anytime he wants, but he can't reach them both at the same time. So he stands in the middle and dies. We got more sense than a donkey, I hope. I mean, that's a cool-looking picture, but I hope I got a little more sense than that donkey. God's given you ability. He's given you a resource. He's given you a gift. He's given you people in your life to help you with that, with your vision. Don't be paralyzed. Don't overanalyze it and overthink it and say, instead of risking a little something, I'm just going to keep my gift and hope that I don't lose it. Get out there and do something with that gift. Got another analogy. Yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a note or a promise. Today is cold, hard cash in my hands, right? Yesterday's done and gone. Tomorrow, it's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed at all, but today is here, and that's cold, hard cash in my hand. So what are you afraid of? What's holding you back? God have given anybody here gifts? Anybody got something here? Gives everybody something. There's something that every single one of us here can do. So I'm back to my afraid. We're afraid of our past. We're overanalyzing our present. People are afraid of the future, aren't they? What do we live in a world of now? Crisis? You could just put crisis on the top of the TV for pretty much everything. Healthcare crisis, economic crisis, The border crisis, the homeless crisis in Duluth, the drug problems. Everything is a crisis. And a lot of things are a crisis. I'm not going to argue with that. But we get so glued to the TV or glued to our phone and we wonder what's going to happen. Don't let it hold you back. Don't let it paralyze you. Has God ever not made a way? Have I ever not eaten? We're in an economic crisis right now, kind of somewhat, everyone says. I've always been fed. I've always got a house, a roof over my head, and heat. God will make a way. He always makes a way. Even when you think there's no way possible, he makes a way. Don't let it hold you back. Don't overanalyze. Don't be afraid. Step out and go, and he's going to make a way. Go on with your dream. Plan that big plan and go with it. Don't bury your talents in the sand. How about this? Anyone ever heard, well, when I get 5 talents, then I'm going to go out and I'm going to do some work for Jesus. I'm partway there, but I need to just get a little bit more. Another couple months and then I'll be ready to go, huh? Tomorrow's not guaranteed. I got 1 talent, but as soon as I get 2 more, then I'm going to be ready. I've walked with the Lord for 10 years, but I'd like to know him a little bit more before I go out. Is a couple more years going to make anything? If you're not going to use your gift, he's going to take it and give it to someone that is going to use it. We bury our head in the sand, and we don't get out and step forth, he's going to take it from you. Then all of a sudden, you're not going to have nothing, because, boy, if God takes his gifts from you, that's not a good place to be. If you turn your back on God's gifts and walk away from them, that's not a good place to be. He's given you something. Make use of it. Boy, my notes aren't even close to where I'm at. When I get to heaven, God's not going to look at me and say, good job, Corey. You did your best to be just like Harley. That's not what he's going to say to me, is it? He's going to judge me for what I've done. He's going to judge you for what you've done. I don't need to be the biggest preacher or known around the world or famous. I don't want any of that. There's one thing that I do want, though. To hear him say what? Well done. When this world's over and we lay our burdens down, you imagine that? To hear those words? Well done. Don't worry about who likes you or who doesn't like you, or if they let you preach up on the pulpit on Sunday, or take your gifts that you have and use them. And God's going to multiply them, and then they're going to grow, and you're going to give more, and you're going to just keep on going, and it's going to be like a wildfire. See, wildfires, when they start rolling, they feed on each other, and they just go, and they go, and they get bigger, and they get bigger. Don't bury it in the sand. I might as well just turn this computer off because I'm not even where I was. God gave us, each and every one of us, a gift. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of your past. Don't let it, he paid it on the cross. Don't overanalyze. Just get out and go. There's endless jobs in this church that anybody could do. If you want to do something, ask. Say something. If you can't do it here, do it somewhere else. Do it at home. Do it with your neighbors. If you work with someone and they don't know you're a Christian, then you got problems. That's where you got to start. You got to do something. Oh, I got one point I was making. I'm getting close to the end here because I'm just kind of repeating myself a little bit. But God gave everybody a gift. Last night I was kind of typing up these notes because I didn't really sit down and get too much together. And I got to a point where I was kind of tired of writing and I wanted to hear something. So I fired up Steve's message from Sunday because I wasn't here. I missed it because I was working, so I fired up his message. And I already had the backbone of what I wanted or what I thought God had told me to talk about here. And then when I start hearing his message and the tail end of it, I got some of it written down here for verbatim. All scripture is what? Given for inspiration. This parable as well. It's one of them. It's given for us for inspiration. So if you don't take it and heed that, you're going down the wrong road. He also said in his message that the Word of God does not just want us to be where we are today. It's what I'm talking about right here. Get out and do something. Make some talents. Make some money. Win some souls for the Lord. God does not, and this is again, these are quotes out of the end of his message. God does not want you to be bench warmers. He wants you to be involved. Say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Speak, Lord. I'm your servant. Your servant's listening. Another one he had in there I liked is, put me in, coach. I'm ready. I got something. I got a talent. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. I'm ready to go. He saved you so you can get to work. That's what he said. He saved you. He gave you a gift so you can get to work for him. Amen? One of the last ones he said is, great things start from humble beginnings. I liked it. That's a good close to my message there. Great things start from humble beginnings. So if you wait till you have something great, you're going to be waiting and overanalyzing because great things start small. God gave you a gift, a specific gift that nobody else can do, that nobody, he has a plan for you. Don't throw it away. Don't bury it in the sand. Anybody excited? It's quiet in here. Anybody got a plan or something in your spirit that God gave you? You got anybody here that's going to go to work or do something? It's quiet. It's awful quiet. There's days I want to be a Southern Black church down south and have some amens and hallelujahs and running and jumping, and someday I'd like to have that here. Amen. Maybe I got to be a bread preacher. Maybe I got to preach in that style. I don't know. And that wouldn't be me. If you don't want to use your gift, give it to me because I'll use it. If you don't want to use your hallelujah or shout out an amen or raise your hand, give it to me, give it to someone else because I'm going to use it. Amen? So my challenge is to get out and do. Is Paul still here? He's way in the back. I can't see with my glasses. Why don't we get that? I'm early enough. My goal was to be done before 8, which I am. I could worship forever. Paul's got a song, another one that I really like, and I want to do that, called Jesus Lead On. And then we're going to go from there. So if you're excited for what God gave you, shout out a hallelujah, shout out an amen. Follow along, shout it out, let Jesus lead on, because it says in there, I will follow.